to Kamsley. Hlatshwayo, and I believe Kamsley is on the line. Good evening.
Evelyn Tapelo, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Menier. And how are you?
Ach, man. God is good.
Ah, all fantastic. The all the time, right?
All the time, my brother. All the time. It's nice to be in the radio.
Thank you so much.
It's actually a blessing.
Ah, it is. It is. Thank you. It really. I think the blessing is also on us, and we really appreciate you taking your time. And every time we talk to people like you, I actually learn a lot myself, and I really appreciate these opportunities to talk to you also about your business. And I think a lot of our listeners are also dabbling between, should I not start a business? And I think talking to people like you and your testimonies really do move us closer to exactly what we want to achieve. And so we appreciate you and appreciate you more for your time as well. How was the day?
Look, the day was excellent. From when the producer called and we started talking about tonight and all of this, I was like, okay, you know what? Let's do this.
Yes. Fantastic. Yeah. Really, really like hearing that. You know, as business people, you must always be ready.
No. Never ready.
Certainly.
You're prepared. Indeed.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into your business? And particularly, how did you end up in this industry that you are in?
Yeah. My name is, you mentioned, it's Kamsley.
Yeah.
Sajoyo is my name.
Yeah.
I was born in Alexander, grew up in Tembisa. I'm a Tembisan.
Okay.
Whatever I do now, I conduct from Tembisa.
Okay.
Just to try and bring Kasi up,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And grow the guys in Tembisa.
Yeah.
I am a in the engineering space.
Okay.
I've been a qualified artisan,
okay,
and then I moved on in the ranks of the mining. I became a WCC, they call it world-class concentrator. The concentrator. You know, you need people who will always up the game. Because, you know, if you don't up the game all the time, then you're not going to make it.
True.
Yeah, I grew up to end up in the business of additives and diesel and all of those things because, you know, you check opportunities.
Yeah.
I saw an opportunity in the space of fuel.
Yeah.
And then I went on to move with the technology of fuel.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I am doing right now.
Sure. That's a very tough industry. I know a few people that are running businesses in that space and are like, hey, it's not easy. How old is the business? When did it start?
Look, we started in 2012.
Yeah.
We did almost everything before we end up with the diesel additives called Power Up.
Yeah.
You know, what do? You hustle everything. We were in the food space. We were in the supply of you know, we tried construction, we tried everything. But this diesel was always calling. The petrol was always calling to say, sorry about that.
No problem.
So 2012, we pushed, and then we started with the Power Up in 2019, went to Singapore. Got trained there.
Okay.
Come back with samples. Started introducing it to big companies, and small, and use it in the car. And started seeing this thing actually works.
Yeah.
You know, COVID hit. You know, and then everything went back to zero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we are back in that space, trying to change the game of fuel, you know, bringing the technology, saving the environment, and, you know, bringing back the money into the pockets of the fuel users.
Ah, fantastic. For people who may not know, what are diesel additives, and particularly how did the idea come about?
Look, it's a 27 years old. It's a patent product of Americans and Chinese.
Okay.
So for the last 27 years, it has been used around the world. You know, in SA, we always get things very late, you know.
Yes.
And every time when we get things, we start questioning and questioning. And then at the end of the day, the opportunity passed by. So when we came into the space, my partners were saying, you know, let's check this thing, you know, because obviously people are coming with fake things and saying, ah, we'll fix your car, we'll do this, we'll do that. But now, a diesel additive or petrol, an additive to your fuel needs to upgrade, you know, your car's performance. It needs to save money for whatever you've been using to a better money into your pocket so that you can do other things, you know. And we've tested it, we've seen it across these years, even when the COVID was there, but when we drove with power up. And then, yeah, we've put it into bigger companies, including Eskom itself. We've got a report from those guys. And we know that it's just a chain, you know, red tape and all of those things, and the trust, and, you know, people say OEM and all of that, but we are getting there. We want to believe that we will penetrate that market and save the country. No.
So how do I add it? Do I add it on top of my petrol or diesel, or how does it work?
It's easy to sub, supply to use. You just when you get to a garage, you if your car is a 50 liter petrol or diesel. Okay, petrol you'll put in 50 milliliters. You know, it comes with a sachet, and then you put it in your car. Then you fill up your tank. So obviously you'll first check the data of your car that when you don't use it before, you have that before and after. If you have a 500 kilometers that you get with a full tank without power up, I say up to 16%, that you will get about 600 to 700 kilometers, you know. That is extra. That is extra kilometers that you didn't have before. Then also, the benefit of these things is that you can prolong your service, you know, because your engine runs quieter and cooler. And then your oil viscosity, the thickness of the oil is not quickly burnt out. You know, remember when you get your oil into your car, it has got additives itself. That's why it is from the origin to the additives. Now, you use up those additives whilst you drive. That is why at 15,000 kilometers, they'll say no. Change the oil. But then we will give you a guarantee to say, no, test your oil, and if it still can run, why change it? Because then the car runs cooler and your car runs performance goes to the top. The car runs faster, you see. So it's a very cool product, and we have proven beyond reason. We have never had a comeback, even in the history of the product for the last 27 years. No one has ever came back to say, ah, your product damaged my car and I want a refund. No, we can tell you that we have not made it, but we cannot guarantee to say it will not damage yours. But we then you know what will happen. We'll say, okay, bring it, and then experts will come and test it and prove to you that beyond reasonable doubt, it's not our product.
So the OEMs then, have they endorsed the product, or like you said, there's still a little bit of trust issues there?
We've got couple Miles Davis recently was the country that tested, and it's now officially using it as a country. Your fuel must have a power up, otherwise then you get the penalties. OEMs like Ford, like Mercedes-Benz, are cars that has been used. We only went to owners of these trucks and say, okay, my brother, we see your truck is struggling. You're not getting a availability that we normally will you used to have. Let's put this product in, let's take a date, let's check, and then let's give it a trial of a month or so, then tell us if you're happy. Some people are happy. I want to lie to you. People are happy to say, you know what, this makes a difference. But the OEM we are presenting to them, who are saying this is what it do, and people fail to get the opportunity out of this thing. Because the opportunity of this whole thing on Atapelo is, if I have a truck and it is available on the road to deliver, makes money for me, it means I'll have more money to buy another truck. So OEM is taking a good chance, if this truck is not always broken down, to get money from this guy who's coming back to buy a truck from him, so that the business expand, the client is happy, all sides. We supply this power up, you make it a way of life, your trucks are available, you make money, you buy more trucks, OEM is happy. So, but like I say, we have tested, couple of companies have tested. I can assure you, we have done it with Eskom, and they have brought back the report. It's a happy report, but then, they will tell you of Siemens as owners of the generators. It's not them, but we are in that space negotiating. We hope to find a solution soon so that we kill this bargain load shedding.
Now it sounds like a great product, and it sounds like a product that a lot of customers, companies should be using. I mean, if it adds more kilometers, improves my car's performance, and generally, saves me money in the process, and it should intuitively be mostly, accepted and, adopted by the markets and all that. And it seems like there's challenges and all that. Doesn't that maybe make you want to go back? In other words, what's keeping you on as an entrepreneur?
We're doing as much as we can. We've got our headquarters in Singapore giving us the support, to say, okay, go out, let's see what you come up with. Let's get a container in SA very soon. And then, as soon as we can have, you see, the challenge is with government, you will knock all the doors. You will talk to the engineer will tell you, now it's a minister. I liked what the minister was saying now, because when the new minister was told that, hey, you're burning a lot of diesel. He said, oh, if I don't burn a lot of diesel, then it means more machines will break. It means more robots will stop and all of that. So now we see that space. We challenge him. We say, okay, let's come in. Let's come in. Let's trial. Give us a generator. Let's run it for a month. Should we break it down? Power Up will take a responsibility for it, as long as the product will do, you see. So there's this culture of, I don't know it and I don't trust it. We know this works and that's it. But we have a load shedding right now. It means something you are doing It's not right. You know, we're saying to Eskom, give us a machine, give us a generator or two or a line of generations. We will show you the money. I mean, Tapelo, right now, as you and I speak, per day, what we read is that 3.3 million liters of diesel is burned in Eskom every day. Now, imagine, don't say 16% like I say you will. Let's say 5%. How much 5% of those billions that are being spent, you know how much of that money you can allocate where, wherever that it is needed? Because there's no money in SA. So as much as you can, you want to save money around, you need to take those small savings and make sure that you save as much as you can so that you can up other gains. You know, and remember, Mina, I will benefit from you buying power up. And the other parts where maintenance is prolonged, it's your benefit. You as the person, you know. Now, I don't benefit there, but I help you benefit, you know. So if Eskom benefits, the whole country will start benefiting. Which is small, because then if generators are available to run 24/7, then you can maintain your coal power station and put things with Uganavan. You know, saying, you know what, the generators are running, let's fix it. You can even go back to those power stations that are stopped. And the one powerful thing we've got with power up is that emissions are dropped up to 80%. So if you have a lot of smoke, which is now your environmental matter, we say we will drop that smoke by up to 80%.
Sure.
Your engine will be running cooler, noise factor will come in.
Yeah.
It will drop. You see?
Yeah.
So those are the benefits. You can claim your tax for not polluting the air. You'll never see what this Catherine Mofredi and all of this. They'll just move away from SA, you know, because then we are saving the environment.
Okay.
So it's a very good product.
Yeah.
Again, it's the buy-in that you
yes.
need. And
yeah.
I hope and pray that listeners of this station have got those decision makers who are listening right now to what you and I are talking about, and they can call in for questions, and we can take this country somewhere with this power. Power up is not just the product in G, because we make money. No, it is a product that will save the country. No, yes.
Okay. You spoke about getting the product from Singapore, if I heard you correctly. How did you raise capital?
You know, when we started, we it was like colleagues, okay, you've got a business there and all of that. Let's get one of us into Singapore for this training and to see, touch, feel. And you know, I went there, 2018, you know, for a week or two, drove in Singapore. They drive like us. And been on the workshop, see that country, how green it is. At night, you see stars, you know. You know, when you see stars, you must know that that country is as clean as possible. There's no pollution.
Yeah.
There is, but so minimal. And the training was so deep. And we got money from our businesses and families and all of that. You know, it was a calculated risk, but it was worthy. Because then, since we came back, we were able to make impact to those who we understood. And they want nothing but power up in their cars, in their trucks. We've got a couple. It's not yet as big as we want it to be, but we're growing it.
Mm.
You know, we're growing it, my friend, and we're getting there.
Yeah. How are you building then a customer base?
We start with a word of mouth.
Yeah.
And then, look, customer base, my friend, let me tell you one thing. You want to succeed in customer base, deliver and on time.
Yes.
And make sure that you don't sell high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when you have a product that you are selling to your customer, and then you are guaranteed for another 3 customers, another 10 customers, and all of it. So when the weight is so big and we know the shipment is going to take longer and all that, we don't take orders. We are honest with our customer.
Mm.
Deliver to your customer on time and be honest.
Mm.
Then the customer base grow like nobody's business.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Because then you are honest.
Makes sense. We need honest business people.
Yes.
That's very, very important. Now, what's your typical day? You wake up in the morning, get ready, eat your breakfast, whatever. When you get to the office, what happens from there?
You know, number one, open your social media, do them, close that thing.
Okay.
Then get to work.
Ah.
And client until 12 o'clock. Do not go to Facebook whilst you are at work. Do not go to WhatsApp. You know, then your day will be fulfilled. Leave this. You know, 6-7 o'clock, I opened that WhatsApp. I opened it, all the socials, and I respond where I have to respond. And when I close it, it's closed. You can't find me on WhatsApp during the day.
Oh.
Even on my lunchtime. When it's lunchtime, I'm going to eat. Open to work, you know.
Yeah.
So if I open, then it's exciting. Capello was saying, hey, I saw this guy on TV yesterday. Oh,
yeah.
So a fulfilling and typical perfect day. Do the WhatsApp 7-8 o'clock. When the meeting starts and when you have to see clients and give them a full attention, you'll see the money all the time when your day ends, you know. So, yeah, it's then we go home. And when I get home, I do the cryptos between 4 and 6.
Mm.
And then I'm done with crypto. It's family time. Home next, I've got a varsity child. You know, you want to engage and engage. Then it's time for sleep. Wake up, gym, work. That's it.
Okay.
So a typical day will be a success should you not do the WhatsApps.
Yeah, makes sense. Now this life of an entrepreneur, how has it affected you personally? And perhaps even your family, like you said, it sounds like you need to have some time that you set aside for family, because during the day you're engaged in business and all that.
Yeah. So, well, the magic is simple.
Yeah.
Let your family know what you are doing.
Mm.
You know, where it's possible, do it with them.
Yes.
So that, you know, even when you are pressed, they say orders are needed in Cape Town, you know, because a truck didn't deliver, or, you know, you have to move on Saturday afternoon just after a funeral where you were in charge. Now, if your family doesn't know about what are you doing in your business, then the chances of you having conflicts with your family are very high.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So make sure that when you start a business, it doesn't matter what business it is, you know, let them be involved.
Yeah.
And then challenges are still there.
Yeah.
Because maybe you wanted to go out because there was this conference with gentlemen and all that, you leading the conference and all of that. But then, duty calls. You have to be in this place. Now, if people around you understand what you're doing, then you are in a good space of doing a business with peace.
Fantastic. How do you generate new ideas for your business?
I've got partners, I've got employees. I give them the opportunities. You know, innovation, my friend, is not just you know, the technology of octanes and all of those people up there, but you know, around you, people who are working with your product, people who are making you look good, people who are making money for you, they are the ones, and make the reward be lucrative so that then they continue want to do good. So new ideas come from those who are actually doing the work. Those are the first point of new ideas.
Yeah.
Because he's tired of doing what he's doing every day.
But
he saw an opportunity to do it better.
Mm.
Take your ears, listen,
you
know, and help them to say, no, this won't work. This will work. And something that will work, you record it. And you make them feel proud that they came up with it, you know. And then the reward, you know, must be lucrative enough to make him feel that, you know, he is important, he's part of the family. So new ideas are not are part of the innovation of the company.
What are some of the challenges and in business? I know some people talk about access to markets, access to finance, and I'm just mentioning two of those. But what has been some of your challenges that you've faced, and basically how have you overcome them? And I'm thinking for an entrepreneur that maybe is facing a few challenges as we speak.
Yeah, you know, challenges, I can tell you, for now, to grow, the growth of the business right now seriously depends on bigger companies.
Yeah.
You know, your ESCO, your PRASA, your SAA, your you know, consumers of fuel. You know, if they can allow us a space to come and help, you know, when we come to help. And that has been a challenge, my friend. It has been a challenge. You knock all these doors. That's why I always say, for this challenge to come down, is when those who are listening here must just give us that opportunity to say, guys, come, we heard what you said, but let's see what can we do for you. You will not be doing it for us, actually. You'll be doing it for your company. You'll be doing it for the country. As little as we can come and help, we guarantee our help. It's guaranteed. So it's not a story of, we are coming to try, we are coming to, as long as you've got fuel, we've got the technology to improve the fuel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the challenges. The bigger space where we can come in and grow with those companies. Yeah, those are one of our bigger challenges.
Yeah. What are your short-term goals for your business and maybe even long-term?
Yeah, with short-term, if we can grow the business, in SA, have, you know, branches all over the nine provinces. And our fourth quarter, when it comes, if we can manage a 25% revenue, you know, on each quarter and grow as high, and then we will be happier, you know, to know that, you know what, we are on track. Our long term is to, it's Africa.
Okay.
Africa, you know, Africa needs what we've got.
Yeah.
We already have guys in Lesotho. We have guys in Dar es Salaam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dar es Salaam. We're talking to Ghana. Just to keep them upbeat so that they start, you know, preparing to get put out there, somebody. And then, but the short term is fourth quarter, we need to have power up in the whole of South Africa and make it the way of life for South Africans. Everybody's burning these generators, you know. When lights go off now as we speak, generation must start. So yeah, that's our long term, our short term. And then long term is, Zim, we are also getting there.
Yeah.
We want to interlink the rest of our group. We'll do the SADC first, and then get to the rest of Africa. Let me say that, and the world. Because the Internet of Things is telling us we can do that.
Yeah. What has been your most satisfying moment so far in business?
Knowing it's done and completed, and a client is happy.
Yeah.
You know, and a client is coming back no matter what. You know, that is a satisfying moment. You know, when you know that this guy is coming back to you and say, you know what, since I started using your product, I am making money. I want to thank you, man. I said, thank you. It's good for my business. Let's go. Bring other friends of yours.
Yeah.
So the satisfying moment is when a client come back and say, you know what? What you said, you put the money on your mouth. And we are happy for it.
What motivates you?
You know, Tapelo, when I wake up in the morning and then I know I've got young people that are out there waiting for me to unleash my skills to them and help them grow. When they grow, I get motivated because I end up feeling like I'm in their age, you know. And when they do well, and succeed and become the best business people in their lives, and I've added value into them. That's my answer.
Oh, fantastic. And how can people get a hold of you if they want your services?
Look, it's my email.
Yeah.
Kemsley@gmail.com.
Yeah.
.com. We I think, I don't know, we will be putting a new Power Up Nitro Plus company. The website is under construction. Maybe at the latest, it's just that the technicians were working on it yesterday and today. I just want to give something that when people get on the website, they are going to have that. Otherwise, my cell phone number is 078-596-1896.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
Do good. Let's do leave a legacy.
Yeah.
Let us know, business people, you know, South African business is too selfish, you know. I can tell you, a simple artisan who is in the plant somewhere, he has acquired knowledge in a period. And then when an apprentice come, unleash the knowledge to that apprentice so that when you are no longer fit, or you going to rest, or you die, you know what you've been taught, you've left behind for someone to do the same. Then I'm telling you, South Africa will be able to get out of the situation we are in because we transfer skill. If you can transfer skill as an individual, we are in a good space, because that's what is lacking. If we do Power Up, we need to have young people come in, old people, users of transport, and let them come in, let them enjoy the product, but let us share the product in such that it grows the nation, not just us do the money, make the money, and we are rich, we're running with the big cars. That was a struggle. No. Do good. Leave a legacy. You'll be good. South Africa will survive, and the world, and Africa.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Kemsley, and I think your heart and mind is in the right space. And it's great and really refreshing to hear from entrepreneurs like yourself. We really wish you nothing but the best as the show. And I certainly believe that at some stage we'll just check in with you again and see how things are going. But we really appreciate your time this evening and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you, Tapelo. It was lovely. Thanks to your listeners and everybody else. Thank you very much, my friend.
I
Thank you.
appreciate it.
God
That
bless you too.
God bless you too. Well, that was Kemsley Hlatshwayo there telling us a little bit about their business that's in the fuel space, where they help you with diesel additives and petrol additives that might help you to, I suppose, make your car to run a little bit better while saving in the process.